And that was completed and operational. Could you just share a little bit about that project just to remind us? And then how is that going?
Well, the project's very recent. So I think the project is that Oakwood redid the fields outside. They made it into a full-size baseball diamond for high school use and also to be able to use for football, I believe. It's going okay, if you want the truth. There's some issues in the North Hollywood area. There's been some vandalism, you know, breaking into the fences and that kind of thing to get to who knows what. And that kind of happens over and over. As soon as you fix it, someone comes back and does something similar. So that part is not great. In fact, we're going to have a meeting about that soon with the council office and Oakwood. So that's coming up.
Thank you. I appreciate your transparency.
No problem. Thanks.
And might we, Jackie, would you like to come in, welcome us and share a few words? Jackie Keene from Council District 2, Council Member Nazarian. Welcome.
Can project too. Well, hello, I'm Jackie Keene from Councilmember Nazarian's office, Council District 2. Councilmember wants to greet you personally and will be here. He had an event this morning, so it'll be more of an intermission break perhaps when he comes. But I've been working Council District 2 for countless years, and it's been a wonderful partnership we've had with the Valley Region, the local parks and park directors. We just had the Valley Region come over to our field office, which literally I walked here, it's up the street. And we had a wonderful dialogue with our field staff and the Valley Region and park directors. And cultivating that relationship and having that partnership is so important because our parks, as you all know, are our community's playgrounds. And we wanna keep them programmed with positive activities. We're bringing the Valley Cultural Foundation on October 11th to this park. I brought flyers for a fall festival and concert. Gus always works with our office, and we're excited to partner with him on the haunted house and programs at the park. So we want to continue this relationship. We love working with Rec and Parks, and my boss will comment further when he's here, but thank you very much.
Thank you, Jackie, and thank you, Tracy Goldberg, for the introduction of staff. a couple of highlights from the department. I just want to remind everybody that our fall activities, including the events that are here over here at North Hollywood Park, can be found at laparks.org under special events. So be sure to visit the website to see and know where all the amazing events are happening within the park system. Next, I wanted to get into some general updates. The commission has received various communication from constituents, and we have assigned appropriate staff for the follow-ups. I wanted to provide a update for the Tatavian land controversy for Commissioner Lloyd. Our staff, the RAP staff, remains in communication with the Tatavian Land Conservancy. Their last meeting was on September 9th, and we have agreed with them to seek guidance from the Civil Rights Department, which continues to advance the city's land acknowledgement efforts. The Conservancy is aware that the guidance of the Civil Rights Department is necessary for staff to make a recommendation regarding the proposed project. So we are continuing those discussions and making sure that we're keeping all parties updated. I wanted to give an update for Commissioner Bain. I know he's not in attendance, so maybe hopefully he's listening, for the Canoga Park Equestrian Trail maintenance. The issues that was brought up on the Canoga Park Equestrian Trail from our last board meeting, those have been resolved. I believe those issues had to do with some litter, some weed abatement and low branches, and our maintenance staff has taken care of those issues and will maintain and will continue to maintain those trails. Next, we're going to go into recognition of We're going to start off with some rep staff recognition. I believe I'm going to bring up Tracy Goldberg up again to do those recognitions. So Tracy Goldberg, Superintendent of the Valley Region.
Thank you so much. I'd like to bring up two employees. We have Recreation Coordinator Jose Dominguez and Rec Assistant Nancy Embarque. I hope I didn't butcher her last name. I'd also like to bring up our district supervisor just to come help me recognize him, and that is Andres De La Hoya. I neglected to introduce him earlier. I apologize. Twice now. Sorry. come on up. Come on. So I'm going to set the scene for you a little bit. On Wednesday, June 4th, 2025, was a super hectic day at Valley Plaza Recreation Center. In addition to the incident I'm going to tell you about, there were many other things happening in the park. There was a homeless individual lighting fires all over the place. So they're putting out fires and running around. And then another homeless person got upset, started a fight with that one. So they're breaking up a fight. And at approximately 1:30, staff observed an unknown male that appeared to be sleeping in an awkward position. In checking on him, they realized, Nancy and Jose, that he needed medical attention as he was completely non-responsive. He had started foaming at the mouth as well, so they knew they needed to jump into action. Jose, accompanied by Nancy, administered Narcan, and the unknown male awakened. LAFD came on site and took over care. And we'd just like to commend both of them for their life-saving efforts. So I have a commendation for each of you and the paper, but I wanted to thank you so much. You want to come up and take this?
We'll ask them to
do later.
Yeah, we'll do it right because we have one more recognition. So I did want to tell the staff, thank you for all that you do day to day. You know, you go above and beyond. I mean, not only the programming, but also providing, you know, life-saving response to the patrons in our park. And so thank you for everything that you guys do on a day to day basis.
And I'd like to mention, Jose is very self-effacing. He said, no, don't give me one. That's not why I did it. Like, of course not, right? He saw a man in trouble and he helped him. That's really amazing about our team is that they will step up and help people when needed. Yeah.
And Tracy, if I might, definitely an attribute to your leadership for recognizing when your team goes above and beyond.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate you bringing this presentation and being very transparent about the challenges that park staff plays. This is supposed to be a place of joy and fun and community coming together to play and to have a sense of belonging and to have to deal with these additional issues in the way in which you guys deal with these issues. And then to jump in and just be in service of humanity is just really a testament to the tremendous work that the park staff does, but certainly to your leadership as well in recognizing these individuals.
So thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Next, I would like to bring up the superintendent of the Citywide Aquatics Division and Emergency Management, Mr. Gary Singer, for recognition of aquatic staff. Mr. Gary Singer. Don't forget to hit the button.
Sorry, that was off the record. If I could have the rest of the aquatic staff come on up.
Don't be shy, guys. Come on up.
Come on. All right. Well, good morning, President Simrell and board. Gary Singer, Superintendent of Aquatics and Emergency Management. Following up on the theme from the earlier recognition, I would just like to recognize this team of life-saving staff who performed heroically during an incident this past summer. Many of them here today are here with their families to share this moment with them. But before I tell you about this specific incident, I just want to do two things. First, I want to recognize all of our aquatic staff for their acts of courage they perform every day. We don't get the chance very often to recognize them. So while I'm here in front of a microphone, I'd like to do that, whether it's small acts of courage of just telling a patron or having to enforce a safety rule for the first time and building up that courage to go and tell them that, even though you know that they might not respond in a positive way, or some of the more significant acts of courage that we performed in this last summer that I hope to be able to bring before you and recognize at a future meeting. The second thing is I want to just speak real quickly and broadly about leadership. It's something that we emphasize in aquatics every year. One of our mandatory trainings, we actually call our leadership conference, where we teach the principles of leadership and really try to ingrain that in the culture of aquatics. Because when you have a strong leader and leadership during incidents, whether it's something that you train for or a novel incident, those leadership traits can help you perform in the way that you should during those incidents. So I want to tell you about why we're here today in this specific incident. So on August 22nd, 2025, at approximately 1:30, employees at Richard Alatorre Pool demonstrated extraordinary professionalism and swift action during an on-site emergency. AFM to John Lopez right here. He was outside of the facility when he heard gunshots. After determining it was safe, he went back inside the lobby, and moments later, an adult male entered into the lobby suffering a gunshot wound to the chest and lower back, desperately requesting help. Mr. Lopez immediately took charge, showing leadership abilities. 911 was called, and then, along with the lifeguards and other life-saving staff here, they began administering first aid and directing the rest of the patrons there to safety, preparing for first responders to arrive. They kept the person calm and reassuring him during the incident the whole time and keeping him conscious. All other staff performed their roles according to their training. Their quick response provided crucial care until LAPD arrived, followed by LAFD paramedics. The paramedics then transported the patient to USC Medical Center. Staff there then remained on site until police and detectives could finish their investigation all the way up until 8:30 that night. This coordinated effort and calm under pressure shown by the team were exemplary in managing a critical and dangerous situation. So I'll just say their names real quick. So we have AFM 2 John Lopez, our full-timer on scene, pool manager Lauren Sanford Brown, lifeguard Angel Lynn Sapida, lifeguard Yolitzin Subdias, boys locker attendant Arturo Martinez, girls locker attendant Anna Padilla, and our lifeguard aide Betsaida Cervantes Reyes. Thank you. I have some certificates to hand them.
John, you want to... While you guys are doing that, I did want to provide a little bit of context just because I have a little bit of a aquatics background. This is, I think, on a day-to-day basis, you guys, you know, make sure that our patrons come to our pools and our aquatic facilities and you make sure that they go home to their families after an amazing day at our aquatics facilities. But the role that you guys play, especially in our parks, where they know that if they need help, they could come, you know, whether it's to a rec center or to our pools, you guys are there. And the type of first aid that you guys provided this person is well beyond, you know, what normal staff have to deal with. And so I thank you all for your leadership. I know that we have a lifeguard aide, which, you know, they're not fully lifeguards yet. And, you know, this type of training and this type of action just really is a testament to the training that you guys do, the leadership at the facility, not only from the full-time side, but also from the part-time side. I, as a old lifeguard, commend you guys. I'm proud of the action that you guys took. And at the end of the day, this person is alive because you guys were able to provide and render care. If you guys weren't there, who knows what would have happened. So thank you guys for you guys for that response, as well as what you guys do day in and day out. And thank you to the aquatic leadership that's here today that supports this amazing staff.
And if I could add one more thing to that, I also just want to commend on the aquatics leadership team here for always recognizing every member of the team, including our locker room attendants and our pool clerks.
Right.
Our emergency action plans include everyone. And it's so important. That's what makes incidents like this successful. Again, thank you all so much. And we are tremendously proud of the work that the aquatics team does.
Yeah. And I would just add on behalf of the commission, our thanks and gratitude for your public service. I thought you were going to talk about saving someone in the pool. And to think about what you guys have to do every day and to jump to action, we're just proud of the work that you do every day. You shouldn't have to, but you do. So just know that you're appreciated. Thank you, Gary.
Okay, so we're going to now take a moment for us to take a photo with, we'll do aquatics first because you guys are already up, and then I'll have the recreation staff as well come up, and then we'll take a photo with them as well. Thank you, guys. We will now, I will ask representatives from the, should I hand it over to you? I'm going to now hand it over to Brenda Aguirre to start off our informational report on the Los Angeles Equestrian Center.
Thank you, Mr. Kim. Good morning, commissioners, members of the public. We're going to provide an informational update on the Los Angeles Equestrian Center. A couple of housekeeping items. Just to let everyone know, we're about within just over 12 months of this interim contract left for the current operator, who was ASM Global. And as you can see now on the first slide here, ASM Global merged with Legends, and now they are known as Legends Global. So this document will reference them as Legends Global moving forward. I am joined this morning by Joe Solisis, who is Recreation and Parks Liaison for the Equestrian Center. And I'm also joined by Lisa Williams. She is the Global Equestrian Director for Legends Global, among other staff from the LAEC. So just giving you a brief overview of the LA Equestrian Center to sort of refresh everyone's memory on where we are. This is a benchmarking sort of informational report. The LAEC is the 75-acre equine boarding and training facility located on the north end of Griffith Park. It has the capacity to board over 1,000 horses, of which 520 stalls are used for boarding. It has significant arena space. We also have a 3,500 seat riding and exhibition area, 13,000 square feet of multi-event space. The LAEC, it has many amenities and access from all areas of LA, LA County. It remains a preferred facility supporting the equestrian community, and even more so today because we have lost some of our surrounding facilities due to fire, such as over in the Eaton area. In the past, a private company named LAEC Incorporated operated the Equestrian Center under a concessions agreement from May of 1990 until January 31st of 2024. Hopefully we're on the background slide. And on May 5th of 2022, the board approved an interim agreement for a term of 2 years with a one-year extension option with Legends Global Area Management, LLC, to assume the management and operation of the LAEC under direct supervision of the Department of Recreation and Parks. Legends Global assumed management of the facility on February 1st of 2024, so that's just over 2 years later. Following the resolution of litigation involving the LAEC Incorporated and Recreation and Parks. And I do want to note something very significant, which is that prior to February 1, the department and Legends Global really had no access to the facility. So we weren't aware of its current conditions and some of the things that were happening at that location until February 1st. Upon assuming operation of the Equestrian Center, Legends Global identified significant deferred maintenance issues and a variety of capital improvement needs. The interim agreement with Legends Global expires November 8th of 2026. And in advance of that expiration, RAP will soon release an RFP for a longer-term concessions agreement. So I'd like to go over some of the accomplishments. We also have in the back at the speaker's table, as well as for you commissioners, a packet with the slides. And also there's a secondary supplemental packet to it that just has the LAEC logo that has photos of some of the accomplishments that I'll briefly go over. They are available for the public in the back of the speaker's table. We've been able to refurbish Barn C. We've made upgrades to several of the barns. There have been some heat mitigation measures installed. We've brought in quite a few sponsors and retail space. We have new HVAC in some of our facilities. We've formalized and standardized policies and procedures. We've been tracking payments using a border tracking system. We've also done 24-hour monitoring. There's improved communication with borders through our new system, and we're improving the customer experience daily. We're also reconditioning existing footings in main arenas, rebuilding and painting a lot of the facility, including the main entrance, repairs to rain-damaged roads and aisles, some of the cricket home, which is a special event venue. There's also been repairs to wash racks and removal of trash and debris throughout the facility. We've also been able to refurbish and power wash 160 of the boarding stalls, and that work continues. There's quite a few other accomplishments that are listed here, but just kind of going over the highlights. So moving on to some of the capital improvement needs, this was a question that was posed when we previously discussed the LAEC. There are a significant amount of capital improvements that are needed, including the replacement of footing in the arenas, security improvements, repair and replacement of perimeter fencing,
the first thing we had to do was really make it safe. So some basic changes were made to just services like shavings and making sure that there were arena footings that more safe for horses to be practicing in, and opening up areas for the boarders that were already on site. We haven't addressed everything, but we have done our best in as many steps as we can in a methodology to really try to keep making the environment better for everybody. We've learned along the way, and RAP has been a great partner because we all stepped in with thinking we'd hit the ground running. Well, when you open the door and there's no bookings and there's no boarding contracts and there's no rate sheet, you suddenly have to realize, okay, we had to go back and recreate all those things. Our staffs have worked together, RAP and Legends Global have worked really hard on trying to figure out what this community can, how they want to engage with the facility. And what I can tell you is it's so exciting. I don't know if anybody has been there to see Cortege, but there's a longstanding show that's running right now that's bringing the community in. And just being there twice, I've met people that haven't been to the Equestrian Center forever. I interviewed two new boarders last week. So I just want to say that the strength of the facility is beginning to start to show itself because promoters are beginning to recognize the value and the fact that that it is supported. And I would just ask for your continued support. This is a venue that can set this area apart from anywhere. And it really, we feel like we're on a real trajectory to meet those goals. So just know that my staff is here. I have our executive directors here that are also committed for the next 13 months to really kind of continue moving forward. So if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer anything.
Thank you, Lisa. Do you foresee any change in the ASM management that was previously operating the site with this new merger?
I think we can always see change. I mean, we don't even know what the RFP looks like. So we will, again, look at the RFP and basically at that point decide what the request is.
I meant in the next year, sorry. You're currently working with this, like what do you anticipate over the next year to continue to improving the site? And does that include staff?
Yes, it does. We do have some changes in the works, and we're always looking again to expand. As we have positions that are open, we have positions that we have not been able to fulfill, but as we have more events, yes.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Sure. And just, you know, to close out the informational report, there's still quite a few things that we need to work on. We do understand there's, you know, the growth opportunity to add more horse shows and more events. You know, Legends Global is still seeking, you know, additional support from the department for some of the capital improvement needs. And, you know, unfortunately, the situation is right now that the department can't really contribute a significant amount of money here. We're looking at a $10 to $15 million investment that is required in this property due to all of the deferred maintenance and the conditions that we found the property in. Obviously, being in the fiscal crisis that we're in, we're just not in a position to subsidize the Equestrian Center. So that poses a significant challenge for us. The current boarding revenues don't really cover the operating costs. As our CFO has explained to us before, we're still operating at a deficit there, but we're working very closely with Legends Global to try to ensure we're reducing expenses as much as possible. There are also the deterioration of the banquet spaces that make it challenging to book private events, but we're still focused on trying to bring that revenue in and do as many improvements and band-aids and patchwork that we can do. And I think the most significant challenge for us right now in terms of opportunity is that we see that the poor condition of the show barns really disqualify the property from being the lucrative horse show property that it can be. Once those get replaced, you know, eventually I think that we can attract a lot more horse shows. But obviously those liabilities, you know, make it a little bit challenging for us to move forward with that. So to kind of wrap up the informational report, the recommended next steps from the department, because we continue to operate at that net loss, and we are, you know, at the end, you know, we've got a little over a year left on this interim agreement. We would like to release an RFP for a long-term concession agreement operator around a 20-year term. allow for creative reconfiguration of the facility to prioritize and optimize the balance of revenue and continue to offer and focus on quality of the boarding facilities, provide flexibility in sponsorship and other profitable activities, and assign a RAP staff member to be on site in partnership with an upcoming operator. So we're looking to release that RFP next month. And we, you know, will absolutely do community outreach and speak to the on-site boarders, as well as to our Los Angeles Advisory Equestrian Committee as part of that community outreach. And that concludes our report. We're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Joe. And thank you to the Legends Global team and the staff at LA Equestrian Center that's here. That concludes the general manager update. Thank you so much.
Very robust general manager's update, Jenny. Thank you.
I tried. Thank you so much.
Our next order of business, now that we've concluded the general manager's update, is general public comment. Takesha, will you please conduct the general public comment, please?
Will do, Madam President. I will call the first three constituents to come up to the podium to make a public comment. You will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. And if you have further comments, you can send them to our email at rap.commissioners@lacity.org. And I'm going to bring up the first three constituents. Jeannie Plum, Ron Bitzer, and Rebecca Beach.
Good morning, Commissioner Jeannie Plum, Chatsworth. First of all, thank you so much for helping me get Parks and Rec's attention on our Canoga Avenue horse trails. The maintenance staff did show up in force for 1.5 days. It then petered out. There's still more work to do, but without your help, it never would have happened. These are the most traveled trails in Chatsworth by the surrounding community. Next, I'd like to bring your attention to our very timely Stony Point Equestrian Center bid process that's been ongoing for 2 years, and they've now extended it. You must understand that the Stony Point facility, which was literally given to the city, thank goodness, by Mr. Aaron many years ago, does not have parking, does not have event venues, does not have show barns, has no access to those kinds of things for revenue gaining. Our fees are about $400 a month per horse, as opposed to almost $1,000 at Hanson Dam and Griffith Park, because they have those facilities available. What we have is a simple, down-to-earth boarding stable per stall. And it's great, we have rings, but what we do have in the 12th District is a vast public horse trail system that takes us to parks, takes us up into the county, that is beautifully maintained, and it's one of a kind in the whole city. Please, we're asking for you to reconsider what's out there for the bidding process, and don't make us compete with the other stables. We need something that that bidders can produce the amount needed to bid on it, and then produce enough monies.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Yeah, or we're going to lose it. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam President, members. This meeting has been worth the price of admission so far. I would like to add my commendation to Jose Dominguez of Valley Plaza Rec Center. I go to a meeting at CD6 and talk to the staffer. She said, everybody knows Jose. So I think we'll benefit from that expertise. I live on Gentry Avenue, which is within walking distance of Alexandria Park. Alexandria Park is a subpark from Valley Plaza Park, 77 acres at Valley Plaza. Now, I know your park needs assessment, will be addressing the issue of different parks in the city. Mini parks, parkways, prospective parks. Valley Plaza is 77 acres, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so last week I said, I'm just going to go out there and take some photos. I began at the Oxnard Street area of Valley Plaza Park, showed up unannounced. Here was a Rec and Parks maintenance person repairing the irrigation system at Laurel Grove Park. Rec and Parks did not know I was going to show up with a camera. So this is an example of how there are positive changes happening. But then you go a little further on the north and you see a private security guard who is monitoring what's going on at Alexandria Park, where there are campers inside the city-sponsored tiny homes, and then illegal campers around tiny homes.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
What was his point? Rebecca.
Hello again. It's Rebecca Beach from CD4, long-term resident. And like many people, I was a little too closely touched by the LA fires. And we are fine. But, you know, went through the process of culling through a lot of our possessions. And you kind of think, does this make the cut or not? A lot of things went by the wayside. I went through a box of things from my childhood and found something that brought a smile to my face. It says, City of Los Angeles, Recreation and Parks Department. And it's a certificate that I was awarded. I was not even yet 10 years old. And it was for completing the Ferndale Mount Hollywood hike, Griffith Park, Hollywood, California. And, you know, it was a reminder that even one trip in nature, one experience for urban kids who don't grow up around or have experience, it touches lives. It's special. It's wonderful. And I'm happy to say this little certificate made the cut. It's in my box of special things. It's a reminder too that what you do is important. And I just want to thank you for the carousel being approved for renovation. I'm delighted. I can't wait to take people there again. And I just want to just give a little nudge that we would love to have the issue of the Griffith Park pony rides, live animals, possibly equine therapy at the site of the Griffith Park pony rides. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to bring up the next three constituents. Sherelle Conejo, Sabrina Silver, and Joe Bell.
Is this working? Good morning, everybody. Cheryl Cuneo, Commissioners, Mr. Kim, Stephanie Schmidt, Tracy James, if they're here, Griffith Park people, RAP people, thank you all for buying the carousel. It made me so, so happy. Those of us who live around there who love Griffith Park have been pretty depressed lately in the past couple of years. The carousel was broken, the pony rides were shut down, the train and travel town could use some help, swimming pool leaks, the senior center needs help. There's been a homicide and a drug overdose at Bridge Housing, and the Mulholland Fountain has a chain link fence around it to keep people from stealing the copper pipe. That you purchased the carousel gave me hope, and we can use hope these days. I would like to see that us move on from there and return Griffith Park to the crown jewel that it should be for the coming Olympics. And I'm also asking, so when are we going to hear about the pony rides and when can we get started working on that? If I've got time, switching to my Hollywood dog hat, our club and others like it would like to just be able to rent fields from time to time for events that we have to do. We have to do a yearly event for AKC. They go all the way out to Oxnard. If there was some place within the system that was closer for us to use, that would be great. It would be income for you all. And finally, can we please just find some old AstroTurf you know, field that you're going to tear up anyhow and try real grass, try and replace it with a natural surface and do a cost analysis. That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hello, members of RAP and members of the board. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak. I grew up in Los Angeles and since 1965 have been using Griffith Park. I rode horses up in the trails before there was an equestrian center. And in 2014, I became re-involved in the equestrian center by taking lessons at the academy, the school. Then I bought a horse, and then I became aware that there were problems in this deferred maintenance and contractual obligations not being met by the past operator. I spoke in front of RAP and submitted a petition that had been signed by a number of people in 2020. And I want to thank Rec and Parks, the department, the individuals, and also the commissioners for listening. And since 2020, the equestrian communities as a whole seem to now be on the radar, and there seems to be an open dialogue. And I think that's really wonderful. And I want to thank RAP for their openness for stakeholder input. That said, in addition to that, there is a lot of room for improvement. Some of the deferred maintenance that now seems to be a need for capital improvement was actually 15 years of in the making before access to the property had been cut off. So I don't know if there are funding sources from the city to make up for the fact that the prior concessionaire did not fulfill their contractual obligation to maintain the property. Being able to be with animals and be in nature, it's such a gift, and it's in the middle of the city. This is such an important place, as are all of the equestrian and larger natural park areas. So I want to thank you. It's daunting how many parks
you guys have. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good morning. I'll be brief. My name is Joe Bell. I am the executive program director for Kids Corner Children's Center, and I submitted a proposal in response to your city of director, Department of Rec's request for a proposal. I submitted it on time on September the 9th, and what I did is submitted it through our Kids Corner Dropbox. When I submitted it through the Kids Corner Children's Center Dropbox, the next day on the 10th, I received the email from your RAP coordinator, a contractor, saying that you have been disqualified because you did not use the link to submit the proposal. After calling several people on the 10th and 11th, I was finally made contact with the senior manager who said, just go to the commissioner's meeting, and at that meeting, you'll be able to submit the information. So this is the executive summary of who we are. Kids Corner Children's Center, and then I have the individual RSPs for the available schools that you have. I spoke quickly because I know your time is valuable. I'm going to leave the packet for each of you. There's five for each of you. Thank you very much. My apologies. Also in attendance is Saul and Sylvia. They're here as well, but they have to leave. They had a similar problem with submitting their proposal. They went through contacting several people to try to get it submitted for consideration, and they were not able to do it, so they probably will be seeking an appeal as well. Thank you. Sorry, was I supposed to ask for questions? Okay.
I'm going to bring up the next three constituents.
Really fast, I'm sorry.
Lisa Baca. And the last name is Gerardino. And then Chastity Blackburn, I believe.
Good morning, Commissioners. Lisa Baca. I'm here today because I am troubled by the grievance process that LA Equestrian Center Borders decided to take in doing, I believe, a very harmful petition against Joe Solisis. And I wanted you to hear another perspective, not at LAEC, but my relationship with Joe became one that started with the pony rides. It was very hostile, but he was the face that you put out there to deal with dealing with the pony rides. And then over the time of going through the PlaceWorks process, we came to see that he was open, transparent, fair, and inclusive. And building on that relationship, I mean, I would call Joe and yell at him every 2 weeks with the PETA people, you know, not doing enough to protect the kids. And, you know, it's a legacy that many of us want to give to our grandchildren that was taken away. But he came to the Valley. He came to Tuer Hansen Dam. He brought staff. He took care of the homeless. He's been to Lopez Canyon. He's done work over in Sylmar at Stetson Ranch. And a lot of people from there aren't here today, but they built a relationship with Joe as your equestrian person as well. So for those of us in the Valley who esteem Joe Solisis, we'd like to give our support to him as an equestrian liaison. And also just to point out, September is now a year that we've been waiting for the final decision from RAP on the pony rides. Really would like that. And then lastly, Compton Cowboys, TES, and myself were awarded the contract for doing the Play LA equestrian horse lessons. We did all the training, beefed up staff to be ready to go January the 8th. Today, I received an email from Shinnery that now the bid is not going to be available until 2026 for next year. So that means one whole year out of our 3-year approved contract. And that contract was hard to jump through. There were 8 bidders, lots of requirements.
Thank you for your time.
We're not going to be able to have any income until 2026. So would love to make that happen. Thank you.
Hello, nice to see all of you. My name is Daryl Ann Lindley Giardino. I have been a boarder at the LA Equestrian Center since it opened, on and off. I've seen many things happen there. I think the people that are now running the facility really need to be checked and watched a little better than they are. I feel that a lot of what is happening there is more events like this thing they have in the front right now. I don't know what garage or whatever it is. I think that that's very detrimental to the horse riders as they're riding around the facility. I know they're trying to be as gracious as they can about it, but I am of the feeling that events are more important than us horse people. And like I said, I've ridden my whole life. I'm the daughter of actor Slim Pickens, so that gives you an idea of how much I've probably ridden in my life. And I really don't complain, because I have been told by friends of mine, if you complain, you're out. So I just want to give you an idea of maybe watching these people a little better. The barn work that is being done was done in Sea Barn, and I also understood that they used all the money that they had on that barn, and they haven't done A and B barn. And I also was told that A, B, and C barn were the only barns that were making money for the facility. Now that I can't verify, but I heard that in a meeting. And I want to tell you, I like Joe Solias. I think he's a good guy. And I appreciate that you have him. And I just want to say thank you for listening to me. And I hope you all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Can we get Christy?
Christy, yes. Hi. I'm Christy Blackman. I am a boarder at the LAEC.
Why do I board at the LAAC? It's because of all the reasons you've heard, but I'm going to say it's really simple. It's location, location, location. I live in Burbank and I ride in the park and I ride with trainers. So that's why I'm at the LAAC. I have a request. I keep hearing the assertion about revenue loss, and I'd like to ask you guys to please request true transparency into the numbers. We only know that we're told that there's a revenue loss, but we don't know how the money's spent. And when the money is presented, only one time has it shown as a cost, you know, cost expense versus a cost revenue in. So can you guys please give us some transparency and not mix it all up and compare apples to oranges and give us apples to apples to, when you start making these assertions? So transparency, improvements. I'd like to say that there are improvements for sure. I'm in the DEF. We definitely have cooler barns for horses that reside inside the barn. The mitigating paint that was applied that reflects some level of heat, that was good. But we still have gaps, and the gaps would be things such as an extreme focus on the looks as opposed to the actual facility and the operations. So by that, what I mean is you guys have a picture of what the beautiful front looks like with potted trees, a green paint, but in the back, they didn't paint everything. So, but that's the backside of the barn. That's not the part that we look at every day. We still have poles that are bent that support the roof structure. Are they critical? I don't think so. I don't think a tin roof or whatever the metal is super heavy, but this is the functional versus the look side. So you got a pretty picture in the front that said we made these improvements, but yet we still really have these types of gaps. So that's an example.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Madam President, I do not have any further requests for general public comment.
Thank you. Before we consider board reports, can we hear from any member who wishes to make a public comment on a specific board report item?
We did not receive any board report public comments, Madam President.
Thank you. Do we have any neighborhood council comments?
I have not received any such requests.
Okay, seeing none. Board reports. I would, with my commission's approval, like to take item 159, 160, 161, 162, 163, 164, 165, 166, 167, 168, 169, 170, and 171 on consent. Do I have a motion to take these items on consent?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Takesha, I have a motion and a second to take those items on consent. Can you call for a vote, please?
Will do, Madam President. Vice President Sanchez, I'm sorry, we have a motion and a second to take the following board reports on consent. 25-159, 25-160, 25-161, 25-162, 25-163, 25-164, 25-165, 25-166, 25-167, 25-168, 25-169, 25-170, and 25-171. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Cimero, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you. Do we have any task force updates from the chairpersons of those task forces? Nope. Are there any comments from commissioners on our future agenda items or report backs within the board's jurisdiction? I do. Could I get a report back on the Play LA equestrian contract? And then can we also get an update on the Stony Point bid process, just an understanding of what was going on there? Anything else?
Yeah, can I get a report back on Legacy LA and the Armory? That was brought up a couple of meetings ago. Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, hearing none, the next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, October 16th, 2025, 9 a.m. We'll be at Chevy Chase Recreational Center at 4165 Chevy Chase Drive, 90039. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.